Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. You're listening to right here on 97.1 FM Talk. Yeah, it looks like that fire out at Porter Ranch is kicking up again. So if you live out in that area and you're driving home and the hills look like they're ablaze, don't panic yet. The L.A. Fire Department, L.A. City, and L.A. County have a pretty good handle on stuff out there. And because everybody, or at least most people, about 99% of people, adhered to the request or the demand of L.A. Fire Department, please leave at least 100, 150, I don't know what the exact law is, leave a space between you and the nearest vegetation, and it's really helping the firefighters out there. But it looks like the whole mountain is on fire. And if you're driving out there, the 118 gets pretty close to the freeway when you get towards Topanga. So please, for God's sakes, careful out there. What's going on with you? All right, don't forget also on Wednesday, day after tomorrow, right? Day after tomorrow, we'll be at Not Scary Farm. Look at that. You coming down for that, Randy?
I'm coming down.
All right, Randy will be there signing autographs. Gina Grad will sign autographs. You will?
This time, yes.
Yes, you will sign autographs. Okay. So if you want to come down to Not Scary Farm, forget about the fires, forget about the Dodgers losing tonight, forget about the economy, and just spend, you know, 5, 6, 7 hours at a great park to spend your Halloween dollar, make it Not Scary Farm. We'll be doing a live broadcast there. I'll be there with Danny Bonaducci.
Really?
Yes, Danny and I back together again.
Bitch, we entertain.
Right. Yes, we do. Yes, we do, sir. And we'll be down there on Wednesday, broadcasting live from 8 to 11 p.m. at Knott's Scary Farm, that Halloween haunt down there. Always a great time. All right, Colin Payne is with us. Let me tell you a little bit about this, this Colin Payne. He has done a study when it comes to people and their eating choices and has all kinds of tidbits for you when it comes to buffets and Chinese buffets, overweight people. And here to tell us a little more on what he's found is himself, Colin Payne. How are you, sir?
Fine, thanks. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm
happy
doing
birthday,
excellent.
By the way.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Now, you have done an extensive study on overweight people. Do you happen to be overweight yourself?
I'm not.
You're not. Okay. All right. But you have gone to enough places. And what is your background, by the way?
So I have a doctoral degree in social psychology.
All right.
And then I did a postdoctoral stint at Cornell in marketing.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Okay, now you say, and again, you got to forgive me that I haven't read all of the research.
Sure.
But I skimmed it over, and you say that obese people operate differently at buffets than people who are not so fat.
Yeah, in general, that would be correct.
And what do they do? How do you recognize the difference in behavior?
So what we did with this study is we had a bunch of trained observers go to Chinese buffets across the United States. And what we had them do is first estimate how tall and how heavy they were. We went through a bunch of training sessions to find out if they were good at this, and we refined the process till we were comfortable about sending them out. And then what we did is we had them observe different behaviors while individuals were eating at a particular buffet.
Right.
Right. And then what we found was that, for example, individuals who are larger, for example, are less likely to eat with chopsticks, okay, versus people who are, yeah, that's right, the people who are more normal weight.
Right.
People who were larger were also serve themselves immediately from the buffet versus, you know, kind of scouting out the buffet and seeing what they, you know, would really like.
Sort of makes sense, huh?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, like, for instance, when I go to a buffet, and I don't go very often, but when I go to Vegas and lose enough money, they'll treat me to a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
And I go with my wife, we'll sit at the table, and, you know, we'll wait for the waiter to come up and, you know, give us our drinks and chat or whatever. But you say that overweight people go immediately to the buffet and start piling on.
Well, on average, you know, this isn't, you know.
Right. I mean, this is in general.
Exactly. In general, right.
And also that you say in the book, it's called Mindless Eating, Why We Eat More Than We Think. Overweight people will face the buffet while they eat?
Exactly. They're more likely to face the food versus those individuals who are of normal weight.
And why do you think that is? You know, hoping that nobody takes it away?
No, you know, what we think is going on is individuals who are overweight may actually have habits that simply continue them being overweight. So, for example, if you have, you know, candy on your desk at work, right, and you're constantly faced with it, you're going to, every single second of the day, try and overcome the temptation to grab a piece of candy. Same thing, like at the buffet, right? This food's right in front of you. You desire it because it's simply available. It's noticeable to you. So, I mean, these individuals possibly may engage in these types of behaviors because they're simply used to these types of behaviors.
Right. Did you get a feel for how many times a typical overweight person will attack the buffet?
What we saw was people who generally were overweight tended to go up between 4 and 5 times versus normal weight, probably 2 or 3 times on average.
Yeah, I always think a buffet, in my case, is a waste of time because I don't eat. I eat a lot of meals, but I don't eat a lot at any one meal.
Right.
And so I'll go to a buffet and I'll get, like, you know, 16 strips of bacon. I'll be full, and then I've paid $42 for a pound of bacon.
Yeah, you just need to go to the bacon buffet, it sounds like.
Right, exactly. But it is interesting that again, heavier people will sit closer to the food than the average people. And how much closer will the obese, or not the obese, I guess I should say the overweight people, how much closer to the buffet will they sit?
So on average, we calculated it was about 9 feet closer.
Jesus Christ. They really like that food, man.
Yeah. You know, but I think it has a story for all of us in that, you know, all of us are, I mean, I love a buffet just as the next person. So
right.
Like, when I go, you know, if I know that, for example, if I face the buffet, I'm more likely to go up again simply because I'm tempted by it. So, I mean, I think all these things have a lesson for all of us.
Yeah, I feel bad at buffets because I always end up with food on my plate that I don't eat.
Right.
And I feel like, no, you know, I shouldn't have done this. I mean, you know, I've got a whole plate, like, of chicken and beef, and I'll take one bite, and it's not really good. And I don't find buffet food to be all that thrilling. There's a lot of it, but it ain't that good.
Right.
You know, things have been sitting there for a long time. They're putting it out in mass quantities, so not really worried about you know, quality of the food.
Right.
And I just, you know, other than maybe Las Vegas, I don't remember a great buffet that I've been to in Southern California. But, folks, if you want to get this book, it's Mindless Eating, Why We Eat More Than We Think, and it's written by Colin Payne. Is it available on the website?
It is.
Where, at Amazon?
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Now, what else have you noticed about the obese in the United States, especially when it comes to children? Did you do any studies there?
Yeah, we did. So what we tried to do is understand, for example, if kids who come from homes where their parents encourage them to eat their plate, if these kids are more likely to request more food when they're beyond the control of their parents, and indeed we did find that. So World War II, right, it was a good thing to clean your plate because there was food rationing and so forth. But now, you know, if you're cleaning your plate, portions are so large and the quality of the food is such that it has so much more calories than it used to when you know, grandma and grandpa were alive. That,
sure.
That when you finish your plate, I mean, you're increasing the risk of obesity if you do this over and over again, especially when you're a kid.
Right. And, you know, I really don't understand the buffet mentality because, you know, nowadays when you go out and you get yourself a meal, whether it's at, you know, Baroni's or Pomodoro, which happens to be a terrific restaurant here in Southern California, they give you enough food for two.
Right.
You know, for a simple, you know, $10.95 or, you know, $11, whatever the meal costs, there's almost enough pasta there for two people. And so I don't understand spending $38 for a buffet. I that always bothered me, that number, because when you pay $38 or $28, whatever buffet is nowadays, and they all vary, obviously. But when you pay that kind of money, you feel like you have to eat in order to justify the cost.
Oh, exactly. I mean, you want to do what your mother told you when you were at home, right? You want to finish your plate. You know, don't waste anything because the starving people in wherever, they used to say.
Right. They used to say the starving people in Africa.
Right, exactly.
And that's true. I mean, I guess you should eat, you know, what you take.
Mm-hmm.
But now, have you noticed, I mean, was there a favorite buffet? Did you go to a place where it seemed to be more crowded than anywhere else?
Well, we just focused on Chinese buffets because they're the most prevalent buffet around the United States.
The Chinese buffet.
Right. So, but I'm sure it would be the same across different types of buffets. I mean, we think these principles hold for all different types. So.
And again, if you want to buy this book, Colin Payne's book, Mindless Eating, Why We Eat More Than We Think. And what is the average calories consumed at a buffet?
Oh, my gosh. We didn't calculate that. So I wouldn't want to even venture, but I'm sure it's over 1,000.
Right. And I guess buffets, obviously, you know, they're making people big.
Right.
But I think it's also a bad sign for kids. Like when I was a kid, I never went to a buffet with my parents.
Right.
And I think it's a real bad sign for kids. Like, hey, you can go to a restaurant and you can eat until you can't eat anymore.
Yes.
You know, you are going to drop. And I don't know, how do buffets handle when a guy comes in, you know, is 300, 350 pounds, and he's going to eat more than $28 worth of food? Is that just sort of like a lost leader?
Well, so this is interesting, actually, you bring this up, because a couple of years back, there was a story out of Salt Lake City, Utah, that talked about the situation that you just described, where an individual went into a what's called Chuck-a-Rama buffet. And appetizing name, I know. And so what
was Puke-a-Rama taken?
Yeah, must have been. And so what happened is this guy just kept eating the meat dish over and over and over again. So they had to actually stop him because they thought they were losing money. So they stopped him.
Yeah, it's all you can eat, but at the manager's discretion.
That's right.
Oh, that is fantastic. All right, folks, go buy this book. It's interesting. There's a lot of interesting facts. Mindless Eating, Why We Eat More Than We Think. Hey, Colin, thanks for coming on with us, man.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, you're the best, dude.
Thanks.
All right, take care of yourself. There he goes, folks. Colin Payne, that's interesting. That people who are obese actually sit much closer to the food and face the food. They actually point their chairs towards the food. Isn't that wild? All right, it does lead us to a question for the audience. Because Southern California is so big, and because obviously you can't eat at every place in Southern California in a lifetime, where are the great buffets anymore in this town? I know we have an audience. A lot of you are fat out there. And I'm not getting down on you. You do what you have to do. You know, you drink, you smoke, you do drugs, you whatever you do to get by. I don't judge you. But where are the great buffets in Southern California? A buffet you can count on where the food is great. Because the quality that I've had at almost every buffet I've ever been to, with the exception of a few in Las Vegas, have all been crap. The seafood sucks. The hamburgers are old. The beef is chewy. The chicken tastes like crap. The baked potatoes are always hard. The rice is always cold. The gravy sucks. The desserts, you get a little tiny ice cream cone. That's supposed to be your dessert. Or it's like a cherry glaze thing that also sucks as well. And so tell us where the great buffets are in Southern California. Because, man, damn it, we have an audience who loves to eat. And especially when it comes to, you know, the economy is ripping a lot of money out of a lot of wallets, and you want to do something comforting. You know, you want to reach for another cigarette, reach for another beer, or enjoy a buffet. So where are the best ones in Southern California? Here are the phone numbers, 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. There used to be a great one at Westwood, at the Westwood Marquee, and I don't know if they still have that, but it was expensive. It was one of those very expensive buffets, and the food was great. They had like the guy doing the crepes there, and not that I was eating crepes, but the guy, you know, sits there and makes food at the buffet. And there's one guy you always have to watch out for. He's the meat shark. He's the guy who's cutting the beef for everybody. And he's eyeballing you. You know, you ask for a little thicker slice, and he sort of eyeballs you to, you know, and tells you, you know, non, like sort of in his body language with how much you can eat. And so you got to really watch that cat. But now, Randy, you've got to have, and I don't mean to insult you here, dude. You've got to have extensive research in your past or knowledge of these buffets.
I have extensive knowledge of buffets.
And where is the best one?
The best buffet that I've ever been to is actually this place out in Valencia off the 5 freeway at Lyons called... It's called the Genghis Khan Mongolian Barbecue. They've got a full Chinese buffet that is always with good stuff, fresh food. Plus, they've got a Mongolian barbecue. That's where you put the meat in the bowl and the sauces and the vegetables, and then the guy cooks it all on a hot plate for you.
Right. You enjoy yourself.
It's awesome. It's always been cheap. I went there every week as a kid until my mom hated it, and then we didn't go back for 5 years.
Oh, boy.
Every time I come back to town to see my parents, I always try to hit that place.
It's still out there?
Yeah. Genghis Khan, right off of Lyons. In Valencia.
Yeah, look at you. Who would have guessed that you would have extensive knowledge on buffets?
But other than
that... What a crapshoot.
Yeah. Other than that, you can't go wrong with Shakey's. The Bunch of Lunch is the ultimate buffet.
Shakey's with those mojo potatoes.
The mojo potatoes, the fried chicken, and the pizza.
Yeah. You know, the Shakey's Eagles, that we call them, where they'll sit around and they'll eye the pizza bar, and they'll keep looking at the pizza bar, and as soon as a pizza comes out, you have to try to walk up there like you're not walking up there in a hurry to get that fresh pizza. And it's very difficult to have that casual walk up to the buffet.
Oh, I don't care.
And well, I know, you're like a stormtrooper. But it's very hard to casually walk up there thinking, no, I'm just going to walk towards the buffet, hope we get a slice of that pizza that was just put out there. And about seven or other eight guys are on the same move.
No, you're there on a Sunday afternoon, like the one that I go to near my house.
What do they charge for that Shakey's buffet?
Now it's like up to $8 without a drink, but... You know, it's still not that bad.
That's not bad, $8.
It's a pretty good deal considering inflation. But yeah, if you go there on like a Sunday afternoon to that one in the Valley on Laurel, it is a fest because there's only three pizza plates and there's 20 guys standing in line waiting for it.
I wish they would have a buffet at Panda Express. I love Panda Express. And if they just take that glass and put it on the other side where you could help yourself to that food, that would be ideal.
Gone.
Yeah, just bust the glass or, you know, remove the glass and put it on the other side. All right, the best buffets in Southern California. There is a recession going on, and during the recession, we reach for an extra beer, an extra smoke, or an extra plate of food. And we'll tell you where the best ones are, because I know we have an audience that loves to eat, man. 520-9710, 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show, and we're live at 97.1 FM Talk.
How come you're always such a fussy young man? Don't want no Captain Crunch, don't want no Raisin Bran. Well, don't you know that other kids are starving in Japan? So eat it. Just eat it. Don't want to argue, I don't want to debate. Don't want to hear about what kind of food you hate. You won't get no dessert till you clean off your plate. So eat it. Don't you tell me you're full, just eat it. Eat it. Get yourself an egg and beat it. Have some more chicken, have some more pie. It doesn't matter if it's boiled or fried. Just eat it.
97.1 FM Talk.
Do the dog catch a baby, do the dog catch a...
Dogs.
You go, dog.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Before we get to your phone calls on the best buffet in Southern California, my co-host every single Wednesday night is the great Arsenio Hall. Hey, how are you, dude?
Hey, man, happy birthday.
Hey, thank you, man. Appreciate it.
How old are you?
45 years old today.
That's cool. Ain't this Columbus Day, too?
I think it is, yeah.
That's your birthday. My day is the same as Abraham Lincoln.
Is that right?
Which means I'm really afraid to sit in the balcony of a theater. You saw that coming, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
I'm here right now with your boy, Robbie Fox. And he introduced me to a guy who apparently, the guy's wife died, and he started sleeping with his brother-in-law. We write the screenplay. You know, can you imagine the guy, your wife dies, and you start going off on the meat flute of your wife's brother, you know? That's crazy. So we're working on the screenplay right now.
Evidently, it's going to be a comedy.
Maybe.
It's tough how about that story, man? Jesus
That was
Christ.
Crazy. Hey, Tim, when you bring him in, you got to let me be there.
Yeah, let's do it on a Wednesday.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, it really is.
Now, here's another amazing story.
Yes, sir.
Dow Jones up 900 points. You know why? Did you look at American Express stock?
No.
18% up. My theory is that a lot of people went to Costco today to buy you gifts. And I think that the price of Costco vodka and shirts shot the economy sky high.
Well, I got my three gifts. I got beer, vodka, and cigarettes.
Right.
I mean, how well do these people know me?
Hey, man.
Very
know
well.
You. And love you. I just want to say happy birthday, man.
Hey, thanks. And listen, I love that you're in on Wednesday nights. And I really, every time I look at YouTube and at the old Arsenio Hall show, and I did it last night when you went off on the people interrupting the audience or the show.
Queer Nation.
Yeah, Queer Nation, when you went off. And that was one of the greatest pieces of audio I've ever seen.
Well,
I ever heard. But you know what we got to do is play that one day when you're here, because you went off on them, man.
Hey, I'm cool. You know, I was probably in the wrong, but here's the deal. I was so, you know, here's the first problem. There were so many gay people on my show. Often you can't say that they're gay because back in the day, even guys like Louis Anderson and Ellen, they weren't out of the closet yet.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't say they're gay, and you can't say there are gay people on my show. You just don't know who's rocking the meat flute, my brother.
That's
you know?
Exactly right,
and,
man.
And so I had to just take the fault there, but... Yeah. I guess you could.
But anytime I look at you in front of that audience of a couple hundred people, I'm thinking to myself, man, why the hell does this guy come in on Wednesday night? He's a very famous dude.
I come in because you're a very talented dude,
oh,
man.
Please, get out of here.
Enjoy the buffet call.
All right, we'll see you not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday.
Absolutely, brother.
All right.
Enjoy Knott's Berry Farm.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right, take
Bye-bye.
Care. Arsenio Hall, everybody. What a treat that is every Wednesday.
You go, dog.
Man, that guy doesn't have to come in at all. That guy's got FU money. But he comes in every Wednesday, and I just love it, man. I hope it lasts forever, and I hope somebody kicks some sense into him, and he can come in two nights a week. Wouldn't that be great? Maybe a Wednesdays and Fridays or something. Randy, can you work that out?
Yeah, I'll take care of it, Tim.
Yes. All right. The best buffets we all love to eat, and with the economy, the fires, all the crap going on, the Dodgers losing, we're looking for some comfort. And what a better treat than taking the kids out this weekend to a great buffet, man. But not just an average buffet. Don't call us with this average crap. The greatest buffets in Southern California. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Shannon in Redondo Beach on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Happy birthday.
Hey, thank you, babe. Appreciate it. Really appreciate it.
I love
it.
You so much.
Thank
I can hardly
you,
wait
darling.
Till Wednesday night. But anyway, Onami in Torrance is great.
How do you spell that?
It's Onami.
Is that Japanese, Chinese?
It's actually Japanese Korean, I believe.
Oh, nice.
And they've got three separate rooms. Oh. And the first room is your basic buffet, I guess. And then it has a sushi room, and then you have your dessert room.
Wait, there's all-you-can-eat sushi?
Yeah,
wow.
It's great. Oh, my gosh. If you love sushi, you've got to go here.
What?
Top of the line. They give you half a lobster or, you know, whatever it is.
It's every day or just weekends?
Every day. Hmm. It's wonderful, and it's a very nice atmosphere.
Excellent. I got to get out there. Onami.
Yes.
And what does it cost?
It's about $26, but, you know, you can have all the crab legs you could possibly stuff into your pants, so.
Well, I don't eat crab legs, so I'd feel like an a-hole stuffing them in my pants.
They have very good teriyaki salmon, too.
Mm. Yeah, I'm not a big fish fan, you know? Just like those meat and potatoes, man.
This is not the place for you.
I know. I think I'll pass. All right, Shannon, thanks for calling, baby.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for the birthday wish. Awfully nice of you. All right, let's talk to David in Norwalk. You're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hello, Tim Conway.
Hey, how are you, man?
Man, I can't believe I'm actually talking to you.
Thank you, sir.
Man, okay, well.
Pleasure, huh?
Yeah, I'm not really talking about the buffet stuff, because I don't really go out that often. But with that Knott's Berry Farm tips, I would like to say that make sure you buy your tickets online, because once you get your tickets online, you just go right through the gate. Makes life so much easier, because I went there on Friday. And, man, was that place a zoo.
Yeah, it's a lot of people there. People enjoy themselves. That's a good idea. So you can print them at home and just take them there.
Yes.
It's a great tip, dude.
A lot easier. And with those, like, guys in costumes walking around the area.
Right.
Like, just the best way to avoid them is just keep your eyes focused right in front of you and don't even bother them. And they probably won't scare you.
Okay.
But, I know, but if they do scare you, do not run because they will chase you.
They will haunt you forever.
Yes,
Yes.
I've seen a couple women get chased by a clown, and that would give me nightmares.
Right. How old are you?
I am 15.
15?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're not able to drink out there yet.
Oh, no.
The nice thing about Knott's is there's a couple places where you can actually buy yourself a beer.
Nice.
Beautiful. All right, David, thanks for calling, man.
No problem.
All right, take care of yourself. That doesn't make me feel that old, that the kid was 3 when I started at the station. Now he's 15. He's going through puberty. He's 3 years old. He was essing in his pants when I started here. And now he's banging chicks.
Are you serious?
Yes, serious, Doug. Let's talk to Robert in Marietta. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Top of the evening.
Thank you, sir.
Well, the Pechanga Buffet. Where else can you go, you know, with the kids on a Sunday brunch? They got any type of food you want, really, from Mexican to Chinese to the biggest rack of friggin' beef I've ever seen.
Yeah, the only problem with going out to these Indian buffet or casinos for a buffet is that buffet ends up, you know, it's a $1,200 buffet.
Not necessarily. That's why we like the Pechanga Buffet on Sunday. It's $9, and the kids get a discount.
I know, but I've never been to a casino where the buffet wasn't, you know, $2,100.
Yeah, this is true. It is a little pricey, but I tell you what, we never, leave there basically empty or full, you know, and you get everything you want.
I get it, man. All right, buddy, we thank you for calling. The nice thing about casinos is I do spend enough in gambling where I do get the buffets for free, and that's sort of depressing because, you know, you lose $2,000 at the tables, and they say, hey, how about a buffet, and you go eat the buffet, and you think to yourself, man, if I could eat $2,000 worth of food, I'm even, and then you just get yourself nauseous, you know? So now you're down $2,000, and you're sick as hell.
Do you ever do that thing where you pile up the first play because you really think, I'm going to break them now? I did that when I was in Vegas. I lost $200. I'm like, that's it. I'm going to the buffet, and I'm getting my money's worth.
How about this move at a buffet where you finish your plate, and you brought another plate over, and you're trying to signal the plate guy to remove the old plate? Or, you know, even before you go on the second one, you're like, hey, can we get second? You know, you're always that, can we get seconds guy here? Can we go for seconds? Do I need this? Do I get a new? Do I need, is this, do I take this one? Is there new silver? Or do I get a new plate up there? Like, you always have to pretend like it's your first buffet and massive confusion instead of just telling the guy, hey, listen, I'm done with that plate. I'm going for a deuce here.
Yeah, it looks a little depressing when I'm at one of the buffets and they see me. I know exactly where the plates are. I know exactly where the forks are. I know exactly when to go.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, ma'am.
That led me to a question I had for Randy. Hey, Randy, do you have a buffet strategy? Because I bet you do. I bet you fly right past the pastas and breads and go right for the crab legs and, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, you always got to skip ahead because even though it looks like you can, you know, there's a certain order, you can always skip ahead. Go to the meats first. Go to the specific things first. Skip the salad bars. Skip the little sidebars. And answer your phone, Gina.
Yeah,
I bet
you can scan a buffet pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to take an overview before you sit down.
Right. On the way to the seat, you're scanning.
And then you plan your points of attack. You want to hit the meat, then you want to hit the fish.
Right.
Stay away from the salad area. You don't need the salads.
Are you embarrassed to go to buffets?
Not at all.
No.
It's the happiest moments of my life. There are
the embarrassment gene has left the body.
When I go to this Mongolian barbecue that I talked about in Valencia, they have like different sauce combinations. I sit there and I tell people which sauces are the best.
Jesus Christ.
I say, you got to put a couple of barbecues, you put a couple of curries, it's real good.
Why aren't you doing a food show on weekends here?
Because I don't talk about Fogo de Chao.
All right, the best, everybody is depressed in Southern California. If the fires aren't getting you, the economy is. If the economy's not, the Dodgers are losing. And depression has kicked in. And to combat the depression, we need a good buffet. 520-9710. Miguel in Los Angeles, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, Timmy, how you doing?
All right, what do you got?
Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, there's a place over in Long Beach called The Greenhouse. It's similar probably to like the Fogo de Chao, the Brazilian style.
Right.
So I heard you say a little bit earlier you're all a meat and potatoes kind of guy. Well, that's the place to go for meat and potatoes. They got all kinds of cuts of meat. Ribeyes and turkey, chicken, lamb, everything you can think of like that. And then they have a full-on buffet on top of that. Roughly runs about $26 somewhere around there. But yeah. Good eating, man.
You know, it's the you're the first call tonight that I'm actually my mouth is watering when I'm thinking about that meat, man.
There you go.
Jeez. All right, so it's called Greenhouse in Long Beach.
Yes, sir.
Is it every day or just weekends?
It's every day.
Every day.
It's a Brazilian, they call it like the Brazilian steakhouse, something like that.
Right, I got to get out there. Where is it in Long Beach? What are the cross streets?
Oh, I'm going to say it's PCH, I believe.
All right, PCH, I'll find it.
Okay.
Greenhouse in Long Beach.
Yes, sir.
All right, thanks, buddy. Appreciate
it. All right, then have a good one.
All right, thanks, man. You too. Look at that, Greenhouse in Long Beach. I got to get out there. It's like when somebody, you know, I don't know what show, a guy used to, I think it was on a radio show here in Los Angeles, but when I was a kid, I remember specifically listening to the radio in the Valley, and the guy said, I can make your mouth water by just describing food. And he described a dish, you know, with the roast beef and the juices dripping off the roast beef and the potatoes and the gravy. And it really does make your mouth water. It's like when somebody says, you know, picture yourself, you know, biting on a lemon. It's that same sort of reaction, man. But people love the goddamn food in this town. And thank God I'm not the only, you know, a-hole who loves fast food and these buffets. All right, this Porter Ranch fire is really, really kicking up now. They said that there are going to be strong winds between 10 p.m. and noon tomorrow. And if you turn on Channel 9, it has really kicked up. The embers are flying all over the place. And this might be a very, very long night for Southern California, especially in the Porter Ranch area, which is off the 118 freeway near Tampa, Topanga, Reseda, and that area. And it looks like it could be a real ball buster out there. They have plenty of firemen out there, but sometimes these things are just too big. So if you want to see a spectacular view of L.A. City and L.A. County trying to fight this fire, turn on Channel 9, and it is amazing out there. These guys have some balls, man. All right, let's continue here, and also we'll get a fire update. Maybe from my KNX or somebody at KCAL as well. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. We are live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Taco. Grande.
Yo quiero Jimmy Jungles y Chili Carrero. Yo tengo el dinero por un steak picado. Las latas y tamales siempre muy bueno. Y el chili relleno. You see, I just gotta have a tostada, carne asada. That's right, I want the whole enchilada. My only addiction has to do with a flour tortilla. I need a quesadilla.
97.1 FM Talk.
Back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. And it's very, very windy out in the valley right now. And the wind this morning was unbelievable. And I had a tree where a huge branch broke off, and I think I got to take the whole tree down. So here's an opportunity for somebody maybe who's out of work or somebody who's very good at what they do. I got to hire somebody to take a tree down. That's about a 25-foot tree. So if you're looking to... If you're in the Valley, you do that kind of work in the Valley, please email me tonight, and I'll have somebody come out and do it like the next day or so. So a job offer for anybody out there who does this for a living. ConwayShow@gmail.com, and Randy will forward me the emails. ConwayShow@gmail.com, if you know somebody good that can take a tree down for me. ConwayShow@gmail.com. That's ConwayShow@gmail.com. And, you know, if you do a decent job, we'll talk about it on the air. And if you don't do a decent job, then we'll talk about that on the air. Dude, what the hell? Bust your balls. No, I won't do that. But please, somebody who's good at cutting trees down, I need your help. I do need your help. Jesse Jackson says that, right? I need your help. All right, it's ConwayShow@gmail.com. ConwayShow@gmail.com. And, you know, I'll pay you for it. It's not a freebie here. Somebody's out of work. Somebody needs a gig for, I don't know, a couple hours. ConwayShow@gmail.com. Let's talk to Ricardo, the best buffet in all of Southern California. Ricardo in Mead Valley, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you? You there?
All right. I got the best remedy for you.
What do you got?
All you
got
to do is come out here to Mead Valley, California, and we will kill a goat for you. And when you wake up, or if you're in the mood for it after you had a night of drinking, and that is the best remedy for you. It will fill your stomach up completely. And, I mean, you're talking about trying to cut a tree down. I mean, I'll cut your grass, I'll rake your leaves, and I'll hook you up. You just say the word, and I'm there.
All right, man. Well, let me put you on hold. Sounds like a great offer. Guy who cut a tree down and kill a goat. Can't ask for anything more than that. Let's talk to John in Anaheim. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Happy birthday, Tim.
Hey, thanks, man.
Nothing better than Sunday morning food coma.
Oh, I know.
You head out to Riverside. I know that's a long trek for you, but there's a place out there called the Mission Inn. The buffet is the absolute best. It's like $50. But you get champagne brunch, have some mimosas and some prime rib. And if you've never had bananas Foster's before, it's to die for.
All right, it's called Mission Buffet?
Mission Inn, the hotel.
Mission Inn. Oh, Mission. I know where Mission is, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That buffet is like a sore Peter. You can't
Excellent.
Beat it.
All right, buddy. Thank you. All right, take care. All right, let's go out and get an update on this fire. Nobody better than KNX. We have Karen on the line here from KNX. Karen, how are you?
I'm very good, actually. Just come back from an update from the mayor's office and the fire department, and they're basically saying that it's at 5,000 acres right now, 19 structures that have burned down. The fire is holding steady at that 5,000 acres right now because the winds have died down. They're expecting those winds, though, to go up, start picking up maybe to about 65, 70 miles per hour around 12:30, 1 in the morning. So, again, everyone's kind of on alert here, and the direction of the fire is moving toward is the southwest direction. So for now, they've got some bulldozers out there, some strike teams ready to go, and they're just pretty much holding that fire line throughout this night.
Now, Karen, has it crossed the 118 freeway?
Earlier it did, but they're really just trying to get a hold on it. The biggest concern right now is basically that it will move toward some more residential areas, and that is a real big concern because obviously the winds could pick up overnight, and the situation could change by morning.
All right, now Karen's Sarsadias, right?
Yes.
They've said also these winds are going to pick up. Now, I'm watching Channel 9 right now, our sister station, KCAL Channel
yes.
9, and these embers look like they're flying all over the place.
And that's exactly why the Santa Ana winds are just so volatile and so erratic. They make the fire direction, it can just change in a moment's notice. Right now, again, like they're trying to hold this fire line to these 5,000 acres, but those winds will pick up. They expect those winds to pick up somewhere around the 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning hour. Right now, they're about 35, 30 miles an hour. So they've
right.
died down just slightly. They'll pick up again, and they're anticipating that tonight.
And what are they anticipating with when it comes to mandatory evacuations? Is Porter Ranch under an entire evacuation right now?
Porter Ranch is under mandatory evacuation. There are certain areas around there, Twin Lakes, that are also under evacuation. There are voluntary evacuations. Basically, what the officials here are saying is, you know, be alert before you go to bed. You might have to leave if you're in the areas near the burn zone. So just be ready for that. If you need to go, you should be ready.
And what about Bell Canyon? Any word on that area?
That was a voluntary evacuation, which could suddenly change overnight. So it's not going to be a very restful night for people out here.
Right, I can imagine. And when it comes to fatalities, are they still looking at just the one, the homeless man that was killed?
Correct. So they basically said that the Lakeview Terrace fire resulted in one fatality. That homeless man who had a makeshift shelter that was hidden behind some brush and along with his dog. And there was a report that the coroner's office was looking at a second fatality, but that has not yet been confirmed.
Excellent. Well, you're doing a great job up there covering with KNX and KFWB. And with
Stay tuned as much as you possibly can.
Yeah, I do. And with the pictures supplied by Channel 2 and also KCAL, I mean, you guys have everything down, and nobody's doing more extensive coverage in KNX and KFWB.
Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, and real quickly, the evacuation centers, I mean, do you have a list of them or anything that could be useful? And also the 118 freeways, is it still open or is it closed?
The 118, as far as I know, it is still closed. But the evacuation center that they are currently saying that the L.A. City Fire Department or L.A. City is actually running is Shepherd of the Hills, and that's in the area here, and that apparently is off Rinaldi. That is the shelter currently open. It's got enough room to take in as many people as possible for the night.
Excellent. All right, Karen, we thank you for coming. I know you're very busy. We'll let you go back to reporting for KNX 1070. But, Karen, we awfully nice of you to come on and give us that update.
No problem.
All
thank
right.
you so much.
Take care of yourself.
All
there
right.
she goes. Karen Zarcidias, everybody, on KNX. So when you listen to KNX, you may hear a familiar voice. It looks like, as far as SigAlert.com, these freeways are an effing mess. It looks like the 210 freeway is closed, and also it looks like the 118 freeway is closed or it is completely backed up. According to SigAlert.com, the speeds on that freeway are 1 mile an hour and all the way from, let me see, from Topa Canyon or Tapa Canyon all the way to the 405 freeway. So from the 405 freeway westbound on the 118, it looks like it's closed or completely jammed all the way up to Stern Street. And when you see that many red dots on this map, it usually means it's closed. So check. It could be a real hellish night out there for people who live in the Simi Valley, area out there. So please stay tuned to KNX 1070. And they'll have all the updates. They're doing a kick-ass job out there. All right, we're going to take ourselves a small break and come back and talk with John and Jeff, everybody. And, again, a Dodgers update. Dodgers 5, Philadelphia 7.
Jesus Christ.
I know. Dodgers down 3-1 in a best-of-7 series. You don't have to be a genius to know that that's not looking good. This is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. And I got a nice call there from Detective Rudy Alvarez at LAPD, wishing me happy birthday. So thank you, sir. And joining us from the John and Jeff Show are the two studs who host that show, John and Jeff. Nice to see you, fellas.
Timmy, happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. Happy birthday, Timmy, my boy. Yes, thank you very much on the day that all hell is breaking loose in the valley.
Well, let's put it this way. The biggest day in the stock market is Tim Conway Jr.'s birthday.
Thank you very much, yes.
And you got that nice Heineken keg out there.
Tap into that on the way home.
There you go.
Now, the stock market has never gone up this many points in one day.
Highest number of points in one day, yeah.
Wow. And if your stock hasn't improved today, then get out. Is that your theory?
Yeah, there's a lot of companies that went down when the market went up 900 points.
Right.
That's probably a good indication to get out of that stock.
Exactly. I saw some of them were, up 40, 50, 60%. Some of the smaller stocks.
What's going to be a good test is tomorrow. If they maintain that or if they lose half of it, then here we go again.
Well, the Asian markets are doing well. Been eyeballing those. I'm the only guy that looks at the Asian market, and I have not a single share of stock in anything.
I just look at the Asian women. I don't look at the markets.
All right. Speaking of Asian women, what's going on with that big show tonight, ma'am?
Tonight we have a woman who drove almost 1,000 miles to abandon her 13-year-old son.
Oh, Jesus.
What the hell's going on?
The woman lives in Michigan, is tired of her brat son, who's 13,
right.
Goes to Nebraska because Nebraska says you can dump your kids off at a hospital at any age. So,
how about that ride?
Where are we going, Mom? Shut up!
We're going on a field trip, you little a-hole.
Yeah.
You'll probably always remember the CD Mom was playing in the car on the way to drop your ass off.
Fox on the Run. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. What a woman, huh?
Think about that. You hate your kids so much, you're willing to drive 1,000 miles to dump them off somewhere.
On a school day.
Yeah.
I guess that's not really a concern.
Well, that's how
for
she
you.
Got the kid in the car.
Yeah.
You're
oh,
not
yeah?
going to go to school today.
Oh, God.
And the kid's like, great, where are we going? Well, I'll tell you in about 8 hours.
You're going to meet your new family.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
The fire department.
Oh, man. Oh, man. They got to change that law in Nebraska.
Well, their intention was infants.
Right.
But then people began thinking, I don't need an 11-year-old during a recession.
I had enough.
I need 11.
an extra mouth to feed during the recession.
Right.
You know?
I like the one guy who dropped off 9 kids. Yeah. I'm done with all of you.
Yeah, it's Phil. I mean, imagine that, though. I mean, you know, you gotta be a real a-hole if you do that.
I know. You're beyond the charts. But when you ride back, you can light that cigarette up, turn the radio on, and it's real quiet.
Right. No secondhand smoke. Yeah.
I mean, you got a van with, 9 seats in it, but it's real quiet on the way home. I bet a lot of people are like, I'd never do that, but I think about it. I'd think about it. And that's also a great way to threaten these kids. Hey, you guys want to go to Nebraska next summer? Then settle down in there. 13-year-old kid. That poor kid. That kid has, no shot. He's going to be damaged for life.
Let's look at the visual of this woman. You hate your kid so much that you're going to drive 1,000 miles to drop off your kid. I mean, she's got to be like a drug user or something. There's got to be a legitimate, stupid reason for this woman. I'm hoping.
Right. And at some point, because, usually you do things like that when you're drunk or high. At some point when you sober up, don't you realize what you're doing? You're driving your kid across country to get rid of him. And don't you look in the back and he's like, he's maybe sleeping with his Elmo doll or what? I don't know what, 13, I don't know what you got. Maybe his skateboard. Hey, he's sleeping and he's peaceful. You're like, I don't want to do this. And you turn around. But this woman did it, huh?
She did it. We'll talk about it tonight after.
All right. It is the John Jeff Show coming up immediately. I'll be on tomorrow right after Lycus. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show tomorrow at 8 p.m. on 97.1 FM Talk.
Mr. Dugan said the impact of celebrity lesbians, or, again, are you ready, Tim?
Mm.
Celesbian.
Oh, God.
Like Anne Heche or Lindsay Lohan.
Oh, Randy. Please, please, please. I got the money now. I got the money on me. Continental Airlines. I got to get to Cleveland.
Do you want to take the family or you just want to go?
No, you can send them later. I need to get out tonight.
All right. 11 o'clock.
11:35 tonight. I know they got a nonstop to Hopkins.
That means you can't do the crosstalk with John and Jeff.
Fine. They'll do it from the airplane. All right. So what are they calling? Celesbians?
Celesbians.
Celesbians.
Yeah. Amazing.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Baboobians.
KLSX. KLSX HD. Los Angeles.